content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the American Council for the Blind email lists. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. From February 22nd's email, please join the ACB membership committee on our next membership focus call, Monday, April 30th, at 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Mountain, 7:30 p.m. Central, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We will discuss the questions sent to presidents about membership. What do you consider to be your affiliate's strongest attribute for attracting and retaining members? What do you consider the biggest challenge for your affiliate in the area of membership development and retention? If you could learn one thing that would help your affiliate to grow and strengthen its membership, what would that be? By Artis Bazin, B-A-Z-Y-N. Make the impossible possible. For inspirational speaking, business coaching, or books, go to http://www.bazyncommunications.com. Buying gifts, large print 2018 daily calendar planners, thumb drives with or without books, and large multi-pocketed tote bags, available online or by phone, 818-238-9321. No mailing fees. Sent February 27th, written by Regina Brett, 90 years old, of the Plain Dealer, Cleveland, Ohio. To celebrate going older, I once wrote the 45 lessons life taught me. It is the most requested column I've ever written. My odometer rolled over to 90 in August, so here is the column again. 1. Life isn't fair, but it's still good. 2. When in doubt, just take the next small step. 3. Life is too short. Enjoy it. 4. Your job won't take care of you when you are sick. Your friends and family will. 5. Pay off your credit cards every month. 6. You don't have to win every argument. Stay true to yourself. 7. Cry with someone. It's more healing than crying alone. 8. It's okay to get angry with God. He can take it. 9. Save for retirement, starting with your first paycheck. 10. When it comes to chocolate, resistance is futile. 11. Make peace with your past so it won't screw up the present. 12. It's okay to let your children see you cry. 13. Don't compare your life to others. You have no idea what their journey is all about. 14. If a relationship has to be a secret, you shouldn't be in it. 15. Everything can change in the blink of an eye, but don't worry, God never blinks. 16. Take a deep breath. It calms the mind. 17. Get rid of anything that isn't useful. Clutter weighs you down in so many ways. 18. Whatever doesn't kill you really does make you stronger. 19. It's never too late to be happy, but it's all up to you and no one else. 20. When it comes to going after what you love in life, don't take no for an answer. 21. Burn the candles, use the nice sheets, wear the fancy lingerie. Don't save it for a special occasion. Today is special. 22. Over-prepare, then go with the flow. 23. Be eccentric now. Don't wait for old age to wear purple. 24. The most important sex organ is the brain. 25. No one is in charge of your happiness but you. 26. Frame every so-called disaster with these words. In 5 years, will this matter? 27. Always choose life. 28. Forgive. 29. What other people think of you is none of your business. 30. Time heals almost everything. Give time time. 31. However good or bad a situation is, it will change. 32. Don't take yourself so seriously. No one else does. 33. Believe in miracles. 34. God loves you because of who God is, not because of anything you did or didn't do. 35. Don't audit life. Show up and make the most of it now. 36. Growing old beats the alternative of dying young. 37. Your children get only one childhood. 38. All that truly matters in the end is that you loved. 39. Get outside every day. Miracles are waiting everywhere. 40. If we threw all our problems in a pile and saw everyone else's, we'd grab ours back. 41. Envy is a waste of time. Accept what you already have, not what you need. 42. The best is yet to come. 43. No matter how you feel, get up, dress up, and show up. 44. Yield. 45. Life isn't tied with a bow, but it's still a gift. Bob Branco posted this essay on March 1st. As blind people, we are often asked by the sighted population about how we do things. While some questions are sincere, others are downright ridiculous. Nevertheless, we have to keep in mind that some people are completely unaware of how we go to the bathroom, how we feed ourselves, how we dress, and how we make love. There seems to be no end to these questions, so we are resigned to expecting them all the time. As blind people, we have choices. We can either be resentful, answer the question proudly, explain politely that it's none of their business, or we can think that perhaps these inquisitors really don't know very much about blindness or that they have never met a blind person at all. Yesterday, I had such an experience while at my local gym. Before I went into the exercise room, I had to take care of business with the receptionist at the front desk. As usual, I carried my white cane with me through it, though that shouldn't matter. As I was there to use the treadmill and not to prove I'm a blind person, while I was in the process of getting my daily gym pass, the receptionist asked me for my driver's license. By now, I'm sure that many of you would have a lot to say about that receptionist because she asked a blind man for his driver's license while he was carrying his white cane. What's the matter with her? Doesn't she know the man is blind? She can see his white cane, can't she? Well, a very wise blind friend of mine said it best. We have to think about the possibility that some sighted people are completely unaware of blindness. Therefore, we should provide teachable moments. When we are asked about ourselves or asked to produce driver's licenses, we should patiently explain as calmly as possible whom we are, what we do, or what the white cane means. Also, we can simply move forward and not get into that discussion. For example, when the receptionist at the gym asked for my driver's license, I simply told her that I do not drive, and then gave her another ID to prove who I am. She accepted it, and I headed for the treadmill. Should the receptionist have known what the white cane is? Absolutely. However, at that moment, it didn't matter. Perhaps there might be an opportunity where I can show this young lady what blindness is all about. But not yesterday. I was simply a normal patron at a gym ready to do exercise. I would have said a lot more, as I'm sure many of you would. I'm also sure that some of you may have resented the situation. I've heard sarcastic answers to blindness questions many times. While I don't want to continuously answer questions about blindness throughout my entire life, I also don't want to give the sighted population reason to believe that blind people are resentful when we are not that kind of people. This is where the teachable moments come in. If we are all patient and answer these questions as if the inquisitor is totally ignorant on the subject, then I believe there would be more mutual respect, faith, and trust. I'm not saying that you would answer a question sarcastically, because many of you wouldn't. However, I've heard sarcasm in this context, and this is why I talk about teachable moments. On March 2nd, someone sent a link to a New York Times article, How to Really See a Blind Person, published February 28th by Bradley Snyder. I tell my story a lot. I tell the story of how I wasn't always blind. I tell the story of how I lost my vision while serving in Afghanistan by stepping on an IED. I tell the story of how I put my own injury into perspective by considering the greater sacrifice of my fallen comrades and how I owed it to them to make the most of my escape from death. I tell the story of how I did that by winning a gold medal in swimming at the Paralympics on the first anniversary of the loss of my vision. And after I tell it, people often thank me. They tell me that it's an incredible story and that I'm a good storyteller. They tell me how inspiring it is to see how I've overcome my blindness. But that's not my whole story. It's part of it, I suppose. In many ways, I have overcome my blindness. 5 years after losing my sight, I have a rewarding job teaching leadership at the Naval Academy, a lovely house on a creek in historic Annapolis, Maryland, a loving family, and a number of truly deep friendships. My quality of life is very high. Day to day, week to week, I don't find that my blindness is an obstacle. What I haven't been able to overcome is how others perceive me and treat me differently now because of my blindness, or how I so often feel as if I'm on the outside listening in on the lives of others. I hear people talk about how beautiful the sunrise is, but I no longer see it. I hear them talk about Game of Thrones, but cannot watch it because HBO doesn't have descriptive audio for its shows. I can no longer share these very common experiences. One thing I do often now is public talks about learning to navigate my new life without vision, but it's a one-way conversation. Afterward, I go to the airport, where I'm reminded how hard it is to physically navigate a world not set up for people without vision. It's a pain to find assistance at the counter. It's a pain to get through security, which can't seem to distinguish dog food from explosives. It's a pain to get the airlines to move my seat to the bulkhead so there's room for my guide dog. Don't get me started on what a pain it is to find the bathroom for either of us. I feel the looks of my fellow passengers, wondering what my story is, but too afraid to ask for fear of saying the wrong thing and offending me. I feel helpless, stared at like some sort of freak. In my former life as an explosive ordnance disposal officer, I traveled through airports all over the world, from Baltimore to Prague to Baghdad to Kandahar, and back, quickly, easily, and anonymously. But traveling as I do now, with a cane and a guide dog, is anything but anonymous. At times, it has beaten me down. At home, the inability to join my friends in their chatter about Game of Thrones or memes on Instagram has caused me to pull back. I decline invitations out to avoid the same alienating experience I've had 1,000 times before. Whether I'm at a crowded bar, restaurant, sports event, or concert, I'll be a spectacle, isolated by my inability to join the conversations of those around me. Every weekday, thought-provoking commentary. Oops, sorry, that's a sidebar. No thanks, I'll just stay home in the quiet where I know exactly where the bathroom is. I'll stay there until I have to hit the road again to tell my story of how I overcame blindness. The irony used to make me chuckle. A few years ago, after another frustrating trip through the airport, I settled into my seat bound for Dallas and did my best to disappear. "That's an awfully nice watch you have there. I've never seen anything quite like it," my neighbor said as she fastened her seatbelt. A smile spread across my face. I love talking about my watch. It's a tactile timepiece that replaces traditional hour and minute hands with magnetic rotating ball bearings so that blind folks like myself can literally tell the time through touch. It's superbly designed and very sharp looking, so it appeals to those with vision too. The timepiece, the Bradley by E-O-N-E, is actually named after me. It is accessible to people with or without disabilities. I'm a friend of the company's founder, Hyung-Soo Kim, and receive a small percentage on sales of the watch. I love explaining how the watch embodies the principles of inclusive design, which I'm passionate about. The conversation with my neighbor went on, and I explained how I lost my vision. I talked about how I had been able to adapt, how I try to maintain perspective, and how I felt as though I had overcome my blindness. Then my neighbor shared her own fights. She had lost her husband a few years ago, and during her grief had gained weight. She had been struggling with her weight ever since, and it had begun to interfere with her quality of life. I told her how sometimes I felt isolated by my disability, and she relayed that she felt constrained by her weight. I shared how sometimes I feel that I'm an outsider, and she echoed the same. For the first time in a while, I didn't feel like a spectacle or an outcast. I felt like a friend and an important part of someone else's journey. I felt valued, needed, and involved, and all it took was a conversation. I realized that I'm not alone in being alone. Sometimes people ask me what I want others to know about being blind. I want others to feel more comfortable, having conversations with people whose experiences are different from their own. My watch has been a natural opener, and once that conversation starts, we usually discuss topics far beyond timepieces and disabilities. Through talking, we find humanity. It seems like we could all use a little more humanity right now. I know it's tough for many to have conversations with people so different from themselves, to risk feeling uncomfortable or giving offense, to find common ground, to listen to another's struggles, to share your own struggles in return. but you might be surprised what you get out of it and what you realize you've given in return. How do we do it? It all starts with a conversation. What's your story? Brad Snyder, a retired Navy Explosives Ordnance Disposal Officer in Iraq and Afghanistan, has won 5 gold medals and 2 silver medals in swimming at the Paralympic Games. Disability is a weekly series of essays, art, and opinion by and about people with disabilities. The entire series can be found online at a hot link for the New York Times. To reach editors or submit an essay for consideration, write opinionator at newyorktimes.com and include disability in the subject field. Follow the New York Times opinion section on Facebook and Twitter and sign up for the Opinion Today newsletter. A reply by Kim Looking Bill follows. Thanks for the article. It was quite touching. If anyone knows how to get in touch with Brad, please let him know of all the great audio-described TV shows and movies available for enjoyment. For example, HBO does present a lot of audio-described material. Actually, there are 7 seasons of Game of Thrones which have been audio-described. As a fully sighted person who became a totally blind person suddenly, I can understand his immense frustrations. But as life goes on, you learn to live life to its fullest and not dwell on the past or worry about how you're judged by others. Maybe someone can introduce him to the talking menus on most cable TVs today. Also sent March 2nd, an article about Canute, the affordable 360-cell Braille e-reader from www.bristolbraille.co.uk. Canute is the world's first viable multi-line refreshable Braille e-reader, a Kindle for the blind people. Available for a price comparable to a new iPhone or Perkins Brailler, Canute has been developed by Bristol Braille Technology with, by, and for the blind community. Canute has been in development since 2012. In March 2018, it will begin its final pre-production testing pilot, prior to beginning sales later in the year. We'd love to give a specific release date, but it's important to us to be transparent with our users. We want to hear back from the pilot program feedback before we give a definitive date, and we don't want to rush to market, only to deliver a substandard machine. If you would like to register an interest in pre-ordering, once we start to take them, please contact us. Affordable. Our aim is to distribute Canute as affordably as possible and in the final stages of development as we are out now. We are doing everything we can to keep material costs, assembly, and retail markup as low as possible. The Canute will cost somewhere around the cost of a new iPhone, not far off the price of a Perkins Brailler. That's around 20 times cheaper per cell than existing digital Braille devices. We cannot give a definite price just yet, as development is ongoing. But we're happy to discuss where the costs come from with you if you contact us. Unlike any other device available today or under development, the cost of the Canute does not increase in line with the amount of Braille. While other devices can only propose affordability by reducing the amount of Braille on display, the Canute can display information in the proper format with the proper context at a cost of around 2 to 3 pounds per cell of Braille. Multi-line. Canute can store thousands of Braille ebook files in its built-in memory and show them across 360 cells. That's 9 lines of 40 cells, creating the first digital Braille display that gives true context to Braille math, music, tabular data, science books, paragraphs, and more. Canute works with industry standard BRF and PEF formats, which can be generated by Duxbury, RoboBraille, and many other software packages. This will be of particular use to students who will be able to access textbooks and course materials in Braille, presented in the correct format and context, but the works capable of being displayed by Canute are limited only by the user's imagination. Cooperative design. The design of the Canute has been influenced by the feedback of the Braillists Foundation throughout its design cycle and has been demonstrated and tested in 5 different countries with hundreds of users in a variety of settings. Canute has been designed from the ground up with repairability in mind and will be user serviceable anywhere in the world. The software is open sourced and the user can modify or add features to their own Canute. from m-magazine.co.uk, blind musicians to pilot world's first multi-line braille e-reader. A group of professional musicians, all blind, will demonstrate the world's first multi-line braille e-reader on March 16th at London's Royal National Institute of Blind People, RNIB. The Canute 360, developed by Bristol Braille Technology, is described by the social enterprise as the world's first viable multi-line refreshable braille e-reader, a Kindle for blind people. Its design enables musicians to read multiple lines of music at once instead of the single line available with traditional machines. Launching later this year, the company is inviting musicians who use braille music to join them at RNIB on March 16th for an introduction to and demonstration of the device, along with performances from musicians who will learn, rehearse, and perform a piece by Bach. There will also be an opportunity to try out the Canute. For more details and to sign up to the event, click on the hot link at www.m-magazine.co.uk. March 2nd brought a letter from Nancy Lynn. Magnets and Ladders is a semi-annual publication of Behind Our Eyes, an organization of writers with disability. Here's how you can receive it on an LLS cartridge. On the last day of summer of 2017, I received the digital recording of the spring-summer issue of Magnets and Ladders from the recording studios of the Perkins Library. Thus, with the last day of winter approaching, I had been wondering if I would soon receive the fall-winter issue of MNL. Well, late yesterday, March 1st, I was delighted to receive the digital recording on NLS type cartridge of the fall-winter issue of the online literary publication of Behind Our Eyes. The recording is 5 hours and 53 minutes of wonderful reading provided by talented writers. Many and special thanks to Mary Jo and her entire team for another outstanding issue of Magnets and Ladders. When these narrators from Massachusetts read our writings very smoothly with appropriate expression, we have at least one sign of the quality and readability of our poems, fiction, and nonfiction. Congratulations to all the writers and winners of this issue. Although I read some of the issue via internet website of Magnets and Ladders, I prefer to wait to hear the recording with human voices. If you are a patron of the NLS Talking Book Program, and if you would like to be on the list for the digital recording of future issues of Magnets and Ladders, you may simply call directly or leave a voicemail message for April Coderre at the Perkins Library. Telephone 617-972-7730. She is in her office on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. As with recorded books and magazines from the National Library Service for the Blind, the cartridge comes in a plastic mailer with a card to turn over when you are ready to mail back the cartridge to the Perkins Library. Even if you read the issue via your computer or iDevice as soon as the issue is released, you may still want to hear the recording by live narrators, a recording that, although later than we may prefer, is definitely worth the wait. Remember, the more people who request MNL from Perkins Library, the greater the chance that Magnets and Ladders will eventually be made available on BARD. So you may want to share this information with your friends who are not members of BOE, but who are patrons of NLS. On Sunday the 4th, March 16th meeting of Novel Ideas was announced. Novel Ideas will be discussing the book Carolina's Twins by Ronald H. Balson, DB 89615. Below is the synopsis from Bookshare. In the tradition of the Nightingale, Sarah's Key, and Lilac Girls comes a saga inspired by true events of a Holocaust survivor's quest to return to Poland and fulfill a promise. From Ronald H. Balson, author of the international bestseller Once We Were Brothers. Readers who crave more books like Balson's Once We Were Brothers and Kristen Hanna's best-selling The Nightingale will be enthralled by Carolina's Twins. Booklist starred review. She made a promise in desperation. Now it's time to keep it. Lena Woodward, elegant and poised, has lived a comfortable life among Chicago society since she immigrated to the U.S. and began a new life at the end of World War II. But now, something has resurfaced that Lena cannot ignore. An unfulfilled promise she made long ago that can no longer stay buried. Driven to renew the quest that still keeps her awake at night, Lena enlists the help of lawyer Catherine Lockhart and private investigator Liam Taggart. Behind Lena's stoic facade are memories that will no longer be contained. She begins to recount a tale hearkening back to her harrowing past in Nazi-occupied Poland, of the bond she shared with her childhood friend, Karolina. Karolina was vivacious and beautiful, athletic and charismatic, and Lena has cherished the memory of their friendship her whole life. But there's something about the story that is unfinished, questions that must be answered about what is true and what is not, and what Lena is willing to risk to uncover the past. Has the real story been hidden these many years? And if so, why? Two girls coming of age in a dangerous time, bearers of secrets that only they could share. Just when you think there could not be anything new to ferret out from World War II, comes Carolina's Twins, a spellbinding new novel by the best-selling author of Once We Were Brothers and Saving Sophie. In this richly woven tale of love, survival, and resilience during some of the darkest hours, the unbreakable bond between girlhood friends will have consequences into the future and beyond. Join us on Friday, March 16th, 2018 in the Book Nook Room of http://www.accessibleworld.org to discuss this great book. Host Randy Shelton. Email rshelton820@gmail.com. Co-host Ruth Ann Acosta. Email ruth1244@gmail.com. Date Friday, March 16, 2018. Time 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And elsewhere in the world, Saturday, 1 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time. We hope you'll join us to discuss this great book. About 15 minutes before start time, go to http://conference321.com/master-admin/room.asp:ID=RS7867A2369E0E. Or alternatively, go to www.accessibleworld.org and click on the Book Nook Room. Tuesday brought this survey invitation from Columbia and Columbia University Medical Center in New York City. We are a team of researchers from Columbia University Medical Center in New York. We are conducting an online survey. The topic of the survey is precision medicine research. Precision medicine research looks at a person's genetics, what they inherit from their families, their environment, and lifestyle. This type of research can help in preventing and diagnosing diseases and developing new treatments. It is important that we learn what people with disabilities think about precision medicine research. We are not asking you to volunteer for precision medicine research. We are asking you to take our online survey because you may have one of the following: blindness or low vision, deafness or hard of hearing, physical disability, autism, intellectual or developmental disability, learning disability, mental health or psychosocial disability. The survey asks what you think about precision medicine research and for some information about you. Your answers are valuable to us and will help researchers design the proposed precision medicine study. You will receive a $25 gift card if you complete the survey. The survey is in English, Spanish, and American Sign Language, ASL. It can be completed with accessibility programs like screen readers. If you decide to take the survey, please go to www.surveymonkey.com/r/ty5mjgl and choose English, Spanish, or ASL. There is other contact information. We've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time.